Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeth. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeth, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there, and welcome to the show. Good morning. Another beautiful day. That sunrise this morning, if you were up early and outside or near your big picture window, hopefully you got a glimpse of that. I was almost distracted while driving in. It was like, oh, this is so beautiful.
Oh, well, yeah.
And you were out on the trail this morning. Did you see it?
Oh, yes. Well, actually, the sunrise was before that because I get up at 5. Mm-hmm. And then I'm having breakfast around 5:30 or so. But I have a big picture window looking out over the lake and the city across the lake. And so, yeah, it's quite lovely watching it.
Yes.
And then, of course, after breakfast, I go hit the trail around 6:15 or so.
Yes. You were telling me earlier about an encounter you had on the trail with wildlife. What was up with that this morning?
Just a little baby garter snake was out in the middle of the path. And, you know, he's on the gravel and didn't seem to know which way to go. So I kind of scooted him over to the grass and got him where he wouldn't get run over by the bicycles or the runners.
There you go. You didn't want to bring him home to the girls?
No. My wife doesn't like snakes.
She might have cooked him up.
You never know.
Yes.
Chinese chicks will eat anything.
There you go. Okay. Well, he will see you in about 20 years as a large garter snake. And remember that you saved his life.
Maybe.
Just
maybe.
One more if life saved by Dr. Mixon.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. So glad you're here today. Dr. Umeth is off this weekend, but she's filling her mind.
Right, she's in Miami. There was actually a meeting I wanted to go to, and I had made the reservations for me to go. And she was supposed to be here by herself this weekend. But I've got so many irons in the fire and so many things I'm trying to do all at the same time that I just couldn't get away. So I sent her in my place. So she is off in Miami, catching up on the latest stuff from the Age Management Society, and hopefully making some connections with folks in the evening that I want to talk to. And so she's been my mini me.
Oh, there you go, your mini me. I love that. Okay, so Dr. Mixon, do you think that you are busier now and have more things going than you did 10 years ago, 20, 50 years ago?
Oh,
do you
I
see
don't
yourself?
Know.
You don't know. You your know, wife would probably say, "Oh yeah."
I don't know. Yeah, my pattern has always been, though, even when I was a youngster, is I keep taking on projects and I do them more and more and more and more and more until I get to the point that I just can't frantically manage. And I swear, I'm going to cut back.
I'll cut back.
And so I do. I trim my activities.
For just a bit, for a weekend.
And, well, usually it will last a few weeks to a month, and then I start adding stuff again.
Yes.
I mean, right now, we're looking at taking longevity as a national program instead of just here in the Puget Sound area. Mm-hmm. So I am working on a public TV special that I'll be doing in December. It's a 90-minute special on public TV, and I'm going to license it to them for the next 2 years. So it'll play over and over on public TV around the country over the next couple of years. And it'll probably get exposure to about 200 million people over that two-year period. then I've got a book that I'm working on, and that should be out in the early fall.
Wonderful.
So
do we have a name yet?
Out.
Are you working on a catchy name?
We got working names, but you know that changes week to week.
That's true. Yes.
Whatever we want to do. And then I'm putting together a bunch of videos that'll go on a Facebook page where that I'll have videos on probably 50 or 60 common things that we address here on the air.
Yes.
So that if people want to go on and just get a 5 or 10 minute snippet on a particular subject, they'll be able to just go on and find my Facebook page and see Dr. Mixon's opinion on whatever happens to interest them. So we're putting, I'm recording several of those a week right now.
Wonderful.
Getting those written. You know, and then of course there's just the running, you know, the supplement company and the medical clinics and the clinical laboratory and having time for my wife and my daughter.
And some adventures each year.
And some adventures. I'm going to Europe this summer for a few weeks. We're going to go
awesome.
Going to go bicycling in Amsterdam for a few days and then going to jump over to Prague just because I love the architecture in Prague. And then we're going to go down to Salzburg, Austria, do the Mozart tours and, of course, the Sound of Music.
You got to do it.
That's where they did that. And then about 40 minutes out of town, there's the old Adolf Hitler's Eagle's Nest.
Wow.
The castle way up in the mountains where he...
I saw that on the movie Band of Brothers.
Yes.
The Eagle's Nest.
Yes, and so that's...
I'm
going to rent a car one day and go up and explore the Eagle's Nest. And then the next day we're going over to Vienna. I love the Viennese waltzes. So we'll do the Strauss tours and get the opera house and kick around and then go explore... What my wife swears is the prettiest town in all of Europe is about an hour out of Vienna. So we'll go over there and spend an afternoon wandering and let her see what she thought in her younger days was the prettiest town in Europe.
See if it still is at the top of her list.
And then we'll come home.
Okay. Well, I don't think you're busy at all, Dr. Mixon.
You know, boredom is not my usual problem in life.
No. So. Well, when we were kids growing up, too, if we said the word bored, our parents would give us something to not be bored. So you had to find something to do, and usually it involved being outside or exploring or adventuring all day long. Yeah.
So no,
no screens.
I got lots going on and no screens. You know, my daughter gets a little bit of screen time, but not much.
Not much. That's not a bad thing.
No, she gets, you know, we get up in the morning, I give her her morning piano lesson, and then I go do my trail work. And then when I go off to work, she goes to school all day, and then she comes home and afterwards goes for her fencing classes because she's fencing competitively with Epe. And then she comes home and gets her evening piano lesson, and then she does her Russian math.
Wait a minute. Russian math.
Russian math, yeah.
Whoa.
Well, that's because...
I may have to Google that.
There are a few... Yeah, it's a company that does advanced mathematics for kids.
Okay.
She's a busy kid.
There you go. Yeah. All good things. Well, we have a show here, and I love catching up every week, and we would love to get your calls. Be one of the first ones on the phone today. The phone lines are wide open for you. We are still using this number, and if you'd like to get through today, you can. If it's been a while, yes, jot this number down. It is 206-644-6006. That is the number to get through to our studios today with your questions about your health, growing older, because we always are, we all are, aging questions, maybe a diagnosis that you've had recently, maybe somebody that you love has recently been told they have this, or you'd like more information, or maybe some symptoms you're going through. We'd love to talk with you today, and we welcome your calls at 206-644-6006. So while we're waiting for that first call, Dr. Mixon, what would you say right now is top of mind for people that are starting to realize, hey, I think I'm getting old? They wake up and they're crunching their bones. They're not as slow. And what would you say would be the first step?
Well, no, this is a very different question.
Uh-huh.
First is what you asked was what was their major concern.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about the concern first.
Concerns are generally in this order: inability to lose weight. Okay. Fatigue. Cognition, because nobody wants to lose their brain.
No.
No. And then aches and pains. I think those are the
biggest ones.
Those are the big four that people are worried about. And the first one, the weight, is probably the single most important one in aging. And the scary part is, by the time you hit 50, 70% of Americans over 50 are overweight to obese.
Mm.
And that's the scary part. Mm-hmm. Because fat is not a cosmetic problem, and it is not a inactive tissue. Fat is a very active, destructive gland. It's producing more than 80 different peptides, enzymes, hormones, cytokines that are damaging your brain, damaging your joints, damaging your heart, damaging your arteries, damaging your pancreas and your liver.
Wow.
That increased weight is related to more than 60 different serious medical problems. And, the group that we usually get is, if you're overweight, you're going to increase your risk of diabetes to almost a certainty, actually. Probably 50% of Americans over 50 now are going to become diabetic before they die.
Wow.
10 years ago, it was 1 in 3.
But wow.
But it's now over 40%. Because we're getting to be a fatter and fatter society. And so diabetes is just becoming a rampant problem. The diabetes in and of itself triples your risk of dementia because your brain is shrinking much faster. Mm. It gives you a 270% increased risk of dying of a heart attack or stroke. It more than doubles your risk of osteoarthritis and degenerative joint disease in your hips, knees, shoulders, and back.
Wow.
You know, it causes a non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Mm-hmm. It damages your immune response, so you become more susceptible to essentially every infection. And it raises the risk of cancer by 22%.
Mm.
Other than that.
Yeah, other than that, you know, fat. You know, it's one of those things that you just think of the fat or the pictures that you've seen. Not that you've mentioned it's an organ or it's.
It's a gland.
It's a gland.
It's a massive.
It does all this
destructive
damage.
Gland that is damaging essentially every tissue in your body. And, it's. If I could make one change in America, it would be to make us a lean country. And.
Make America lean again.
Make America lean again. And in fact, that was one of about three of my real criticisms of Mr. Trump.
Mm.
Okay. First of all, I had the urge to break his thumbs from time to time so he couldn't tweet.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
I mean, they already hate you. Why do you keep
giving
them more and more reason to hate you? That's just dumb. But and the other was, get over yourself. You're too damn self-obsessed with your own ego, guy. But my biggest concern as a physician is he was obese.
Yes.
Okay. He had an opportunity that none of our other recent presidents had. I mean, okay, Joe Biden's quasi-demented, but there's nothing he can do about that.
Right.
You know?
But, now he wants to run again.
And Obama was lean, but he was a smoker, which made me want to stuff that up his nose.
There you go.
But the obesity. When we come back, I'm going to tell you how Trump and obesity played together in my mind and what I wanted him to do about it.
Yes.
Because he had an opportunity to help America big time.
All right.
The phrase he would use is bigly.
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 We're going to help America bigly. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. Then Leading Edge Medicine is back. All of our phone lines are bright red. We're going to take your calls in just a moment. Thank you. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter.
Papaya, papaya.
And make believe it came from you.
Papaya, papaya.
I'm going to write words so, so sweet. They're going to knock me off of my feet. A lot of kisses.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning.
Wait a minute. Kisses on the bottom? Whose bottom?
Yeah, you know, when I first heard this song, that's what I was like, what is he saying? Talking about a letter, okay?
Oh,
when he wrote
the bottom
himself
of the
letter.
Okay.
It took me a few times of hearing this to realize.
Would probably get her attention anyway. So,
yeah, it did. Either way. Oh, boy. I'm Lynette, Dr. Mixon in the studio. A bunch of phone calls. We're going to dive into those in just a moment. But you were talking about health Trump.
I was talking about Trump and health. Uh-huh. And the opportunity he had was to say, look, America, I'm fat. And you're fat. Let's get lean together.
Yes.
It's kind of like John Kennedy did. You know, John Kennedy, despite his back pain and the fact that he was dependent on steroids for his back pain, Kennedy pushed America into a health kick. Mm-hmm. And said, you know, to let's make America fit.
Yes.
Trump had the opportunity to say, hey, America, let's lose weight together. I'm your president. And in he could have then done kind of a weekly fireside chat, like AKA or a la FDR, and talked about what he did in the week and how what his weight was, and basically let America give him presidential leadership to lose weight as a country, because that by itself, if we were a lean country, we would cut healthcare costs in America by nearly two-thirds.
Wow. Wow.
Dementia would go down. Diabetes would go down. Heart disease would go down. Strokes would go down. Osteoarthritis would go down. Back pain would go down. Hip pain would go down. Knee pain would go down. Diabetes would go down. And cancer would go down. If we reduce the incidence of all of that just by losing weight.
How huge would that be?
And he had the opportunity to do that. You know, only a heavy patient, only a heavy president could get away with it.
Yes.
But if he were to say, America, I weigh too much, you weigh too much, let's
work
lose
it
together, and made that a national project, that would cut America's health care costs dramatically without having the government take control of this important part of our life.
Yes. Wow. Okay.
So that's one of my big criticisms of...
We need red hats with M-A-L-A.
That's right.
Make America
lean again.
You might have to do that. All right. Let's dive into some phone calls. Dr. Mixon, we're going to go to Olympia first. Dave is on the line. Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I've been a longevity patient for many years now, and I heard you some time ago talking about an elderly longevity patient, so I decided to bring my dad in, and he's now a longevity patient. He's 95, and just got him started on the program. Excited about that. His big challenge is he's got an indwelling Foley catheter, has for several years, because he had a distended bladder several years ago, and so he's got the catheter. And so he gets frequent UTIs. Every couple of months or so, we're dealing with a UTI. Now, we've got, he's on, you know, all the health stuff we can figure out, D-mannos, et cetera. He gets a nightly gentamicin and bladder infusion that I do. And, you know, I'm reading everything I can. I've talked to my longevity doc about it. And one thing that I can't find any information about, maybe I'm just barking up the wrong tree, is nanomolecular colloidal silver. And it's an antimicrobial, and I thought, well, you know, maybe an infusion of that periodically would help too. I don't know. He has the silver line catheter that we use. So, any thoughts?
Well, interesting. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's already doing all the normal things. The D-mannose is actually, you know, the kind of the mainstay, the first step. The gentamicin, you know, infusions and then draining it back out so he doesn't kill his kidneys. That's another good one. Colloidal silver with UTI, yes, it can help. This is an area that I don't look at, but there was a paper. Hang on, let's see if I can visualize this. It was back a couple of years ago. Sanchez did a paper on silver nanoparticles in bladder and chronic UTIs.
Oh, wow.
You might. I'm trying to remember what the journal was. I think it was in Frontiers of Medicine. Not sure. Anyway, go to PubMed, go to the National Institute of Health database, and put in nanoparticles for UTI, and you're looking for a paper by, I think, Sanchez.
Excellent.
And that may give you some guidance, or it's not much you'll be able to do with it, but you could take it to your physician, because if I remember properly, when Sanchez did his paper, his bibliography, he had pages and pages of journal articles that he was basing his on. And by selecting a few of those for your urologist to read, it would let him see what the latest cutting edge thinking on silver nanoparticles in chronic UTIs might be.
Excellent. I knew you'd have some information I didn't have. I appreciate that.
Well, I tell you, this is where this quirky memory of mine comes in. Because, it's funny. I do not have an eidetic memory. Or I cannot remember and read verbatim what I've seen. But what happens is when somebody asks me a question, and it can be an article that I read 2, 5, 10, 15 years ago, all of a sudden I can see a paper in front of me and I can see where it's from. I know that on about the third page down on the left corner, it says something of the, of this. And I don't even know that I know it until someone asks a question.
Yeah. And then his brain goes into,
of a sudden I can kind of see this. And then when the call is over, it goes away.
It's gone until the next call. Yeah.
So it's one of those quirky memories that, it's nothing I do on purpose. It's nothing I've learned. It's just,
it's there.
God has kind of afflicted me with
it. It's a gift. There we go.
Handy if you're a doctor and you're doing research.
Handy if you're a doctor doing this kind of show.
That's right. Yep, it works really well.
Thanks for your help. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Take care,
sir.
Bye bye.
All right. Great call. And we accept and welcome your calls today, too, 206-644-6006 to talk to Dr. Mixon. We're going to Burien now with a call, and Michael is on the line with us. Welcome, Michael. We'll take your call, and then we'll go to a quick break and then come back and talk about your problem.
Okay. Hello, great. Michael.
Hi.
Tell us about it. What's going on?
I got phantom leg pain. It shows up about every 9 days or 7 days, and it's pretty intense. What I've been doing is I take a handheld vibrator and put it on the opposite leg above the knee. The other one, I lost my leg because of an aneurysm, and I had to, for 5 years, they were able to keep this leg with doing grafts. Changing the veins, but the thing is, this thing is, when it comes on, it's so intense. I'll be sleeping in the other room, and my wife comes in and goes, "What are you screaming about? What are you screaming about?"
Oh.
Oh, dear.
So what I do is my doctor gave me some oxycodone. I take one pill, and then I take two pills if I have to, not at a time, though. It does seem to help, but sometimes when this comes on, I don't wish to be in church and have this come on. I would be yelling, "Hallelujah!"
Yeah.
Well, if you yell "Hallelujah," it's at least better than what I'd probably yell. So.
All right. Well, Michael, you hang on the line. We'll be back. And you stay right there, Michael. We'll be right back with Dr. Mixon and talk about that phantom leg pain and maybe what can be done about that. And we'll find out why. What's going on with that? This is Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio, and we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay right there. Hello. Loving that one. I used to play that one a long time ago. I'm Lynette. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here on the computer getting information. We have Michael from Burien on the line, and we're talking about that phantom leg pain.
Yeah, and it's a tough problem.
Wow.
The problem with phantom pain is it's a mixture of both peripheral and central nervous system issues. The brain expects that limb to be there, and when it's not, the nerve endings from that limb are become sometimes hypersensitized. Anything, even a breeze blowing across it or the touch of a sheet or will suddenly trigger these symptoms that the brain interprets as pain, because those nerve endings are no longer attached where they're supposed to be attached, and the brain just doesn't want to recognize that. So they have tried, enormous number of things trying to fix this. And it's interesting that the results are spotty. The spotty things will work for one in one study, and the next study they don't work at all. Let me give you an example. Memantine. Memantine was done in a small, a tiny study. This doctor had two patients with phantom pain that was basically destroying their life. He put the two of them on memantine, 30 milligrams a day. They were both able to wean off their narcotics, wean off their gabapentin, wean off everything else, and basically be pain-free for a year. And so he published that, and so other doctors went and took a look at it. And the next guy that did it on 8 patients, and it didn't work with any of them.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And so, why did it work on these two and not the other 8? I mean, that's a total of 10 people, and we got 20% of them got total relief and zip with the other 80%. Gabapentin, which I'm sure you've been tried on because that's the first thing that always gets tried. It changes the nature of the pain, but almost nobody really gets long-term good pain relief from the gabapentin. Ketamine is a neuroleptic, is an anesthesia agent. It works pretty well. The problem is that ketamine, being an analeptic anesthesia, it alters your memories. It alters your muscle function. It gives you amnesia in high doses. But interestingly, and one that you might discuss with your neurologist, is there is now a form of ketamine, because we used to have to inject it or give it intravenously. There's now a form of ketamine that is applied as a nasal spray to people with significant depressive disorders. And it seems to help depression a lot, with very few side effects in the doses used in the nasal spray. And it would be one of those things that you might want to try in addition to your other medicines as an add-on. You might talk to your neurologist about a ketamine nasal spray. One of those things is worth trying. I can't tell you it's going to work because nothing seems to work consistently with this condition. It's just one that drives the patients and the doctors both crazy. But there have been a few small studies in which the inhaled ketamine did give some relief. So the memantine, again, worked in 2 people, not in the next 8. Ketamine, okay, it might also be spotty. But, with this, since we don't know exactly what causes it, we don't really understand the physiology, we're kind of treating half blind here.
Well, can they reroute those nerves somehow into a different area or something like that?
No, unfortunately, because anything you do to mess with the nerve just gives you a new irritative focus. They've tried injecting things to kill the nerve, but you don't kill the whole nerve. You only kill the little bit, and then you've got a new dead spot where it's it's sending strange signals. So I wish I had, you know, I wish I had a good answer for you, but this is one of those things that I am convinced that we as a profession simply don't understand well enough to be good at treating it.
Okay, doctor, I really appreciate it. I will take that ketamine under consideration with
ketamine and memantine, M-E-M-A-N-T-I-N-E. Yeah, memantine and ketamine, two things you might discuss with your doctor. And I wouldn't be looking at the injectable ketamine. I'd be looking at the nasal spray. Okay?
Great. Thank you much for your service, and thank you for your staff and everybody there. Praise God.
You're welcome, sir.
Bye.
Well, I hope he gets some relief with that.
I hope so, too.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Listening to Leading Edge Medicine today, taking your calls, your concerns. We'd love to talk with you, too, at 206-644-6006. Carolyn is on the phone with us. Carolyn calling in from Des Moines. Hi there, Carolyn. Good morning.
Hello, Carolyn.
Good morning.
How can we help you, ma'am?
I'm on antibiotics for UTI and for the Humpty 11th time.
Okay.
And I have a bad case of yeast infection. The thrush in my mouth is just awful.
Yes. And have they given you some nystatin lozenges to suck on?
Nystatin liquid to swish and swallow. And now I have a new lozenge that's clotrimazole.
Clotrimazole, all right. Okay. Yeah, I like the nystatin lozenges in addition to the swish and swallow. When you swish and swallow, the nystatin in your gut just goes right on through. We can't absorb it very well. But with the swish, you got it in your mouth, you know, for maybe 5 seconds, most people. Whereas the lozenge, you can stick in your mouth and your cheek, and it'll slowly dissolve over 20 or 30 minutes. And you can do that 2 or 3 times a day, which gives you a longer exposure of the yeast to the antifungal agent. So that's the one thing you might ask your doctor to consider writing a prescription. They don't make the nystatin lozenges as a standard thing. It's something that your compounding pharmacy would have to put together for you. But your doctor can write it to the compounding pharmacy, and the pharmacist can make those for you easily enough.
That'd be great.
Okay. So, unfortunately, you folks that have frequent urinary tract infections and frequent antibiotics, this is just a very, very common problem, because we kill off the normal bacteria, and that leaves an ecologic opening for the yeast to grow.
Ah, okay.
So,
is there a preventative that we can do?
Well,
lots of sauerkraut and yogurt, and still not enough.
Yep, but that's basically what we're trying to do, is you give it lots of fiber, lots of other bacteria-loaded, fermented foods, in hopes that you can replace the bugs. The problem is that the foods in the fermented and in the yogurts are not the bugs that are normally in our gut.
Ah.
See, those are primarily a lactobacillus, a lactose as in it eats milk sugars. Whereas the healthy bugs in our gut are usually soil saprophytes. They're things that are on the fruits and vegetables that would grow in your garden.
Okay.
But almost nobody gets their fruits and vegetables out of the garden anymore, because they're getting it from the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it was harvested at the commercial farm, it was washed.
Washed off. Oh.
And then it was washed again at the warehouse. And then it was washed again at the grocery store. And then they have those sprays.
Those sprayers that
washing
keep them fresh.
Moist. But it's also washing off all the bugs. And so our fruits and vegetables simply don't have the bacteria that our ancestors would have had.
Mm.
You know, my granny grew all of her fruits and veggies in the garden.
Oh boy, yes, yeah. That's right.
And I mean, I was a kid, I'd walk out there and I'd pull up some turnips or I'd pull up a radish or two. And
that's right. Or a salad.
And we didn't wash it. We kind of slapped it against our thigh to knock off most of the dirt, and then
dirt
we
clumps.
Ate the cotton picking thing.
Yeah, because you couldn't wait. Oh boy, that's so true.
And yeah, so we leave a much cleaner, bacteria-free life. The problem is our bodies are not designed to be bacteria-free.
They need some bacteria in there.
They need those soil bacteria that our ancestors had, and that's what we evolved for. And unfortunately, we know now that the cleaner the person's environment, the higher the incidence of autoimmune disease. Allergies and autoimmune diseases are rampant in our society because our kids are too clean.
That's right.
They don't get enough dirt.
I have heard this. Yes.
So,
get a dog. Get a pet. Send him outside. Get him dirty.
Even then, it has
get
to be a dog
muddy.
That goes outside, rolls in the mud and the dirt, and then comes in the house.
And the kid kisses him and sleeps with him.
And sticks their face in the fur. Yes.
Yeah.
But better yet, the kid should be outside rolling in the grass.
That's right. Yes. So. Like we did.
All right, ma'am. Well, I hope that helps you a little bit anyway.
Yes, Carolyn.
All
right.
Yeah, my dear. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We have room for your call. Phone lines are wide open right now at 206-644-6006. What is bothering you? What do you have a question about? We want to hear from you. Here is that number again, 206-644-6006. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in a moment. Medicine. My name is Lynette. Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio today. Dr. UMAT is off at a conference in Miami with the heat and the humidity and the alligators, which is where I'll be in about a month. So,
yeah, maybe so. But she's in the Trump Doral.
Oh, wow.
Which I wanted to treat myself to. It's a little, you know, $750 a night.
So not too shabby, right?
Not too shabby.
You're saying, okay.
Yeah, she's taking my self-indulgence. I had to give it to her this time.
Oh, that's okay. She'll come back with so much information for you. And Dr. Mixon, while we're waiting for the next call, we have room for you. Phone lines are open at 206-644-6006. I realized we didn't do a medical update at the beginning of the show.
Well, we didn't, did
we? Is there something that is standing out right now or something we should be aware of?
You know, the thing that I'm getting a lot of emails about right now are, oddly enough, COVID research. And the reason is that back during the pandemic a few years ago, they threw an awful lot of money at researchers. And all that research that got started a few years ago is finally now hitting the medical journals.
Okay. What we didn't have, we have now.
That's right. So all the stuff that we paid for a few years ago that is now too late to do us any good is showing up in the journals, which is kind of sad in a way. You know, the journals are now filled with all kinds of information about COVID research. A lot of it is pretty much what we would have expected. You know, there is a study showing that people who engage in moderate to vigorous physical activity don't get as sick with COVID. Well, duh. We knew that.
They don't get as sick with a lot of things.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is that they get COVID more often.
Really?
And so, yeah, so they catch COVID more often, but they don't get nearly as sick. And the reasoning seems to be that those folks spend more time at the gym, and everybody in the gym is exercising. And when they're exercising, they're blowing out more viral particles because they're breathing hard and panting and gasping. And so there's more virus circulating around the air system. So the people working out in the gym get sick more often, but they don't get as sick. They get much milder illnesses, mostly runny noses, a little bit of cough, you know, a few days under the weather, and that's it. Because they're fit.
Okay.
And this is a virus that preferentially grows in fat. And the fatter you are, the higher your viral load and the higher the chance that you will be seriously injured or killed.
Mm.
Now, a person that is significantly overweight has a 650% increased risk of dying from COVID.
Wow.
So, you know, same age, but leaner, a lot less risk.
Okay, and all this information coming out now.
Yes,
well, now. Of course, we, you know, have had it for a few years now, and so we've got information.
Yeah, the other little blurb that came out this week, I guess, is the original two or three vaccines, the monovalent vaccines, are no longer approved for use in the United States. Only the bivalent vaccine is now approved for use.
And what does that mean, Dr. Mixon?
Well, it just means that it's designed to hit two or more of the variants of the virus.
Okay.
Okay. So instead of being just for Omicron or just for the Delta variant or just
Right. We had a new variant every few months,
That's right. Yeah. So now they're making a vaccine that has multiple variants and at least two. And so that's the only one that's currently authorized.
Mm.
The one monovalents that were only against one version are no longer authorized for use in America.
Okay. Now, is this something you would consider doing, Dr. Mixon?
I have not done the bivalent variant, and I probably will not unless something happens to make either me far more susceptible or the virus far more deadly.
Mm.
Right now, even though I am in my mid, moving into my late 70s, I'm lean, I'm strong, I'm active. My risk of dying from this virus is almost non-existent.
Wow.
Now, if I suddenly discover that I've got a cancer and I have to whack my immune system with immunosuppressant drugs or I get radiation, then, yeah, I'll probably go get the vaccine.
Okay.
Or if for some reason there is a new variant that comes out that is far nastier than the ones we have now, because the ones we have now are pretty benign.
Okay.
You know, they really don't make most people very sick. It's mostly a nasty cold for most people now, unless you're significantly overweight or immunocompromised, in which case any virus is dangerous for you.
Okay.
So.
All right. Good update. If you'd like to call, maybe you have a question for Dr. Mixon about these things or something else, maybe an update for us on something you were going through a few weeks ago. I love it when callers will call in and say, yes, I called a month or two ago and I was getting ready to do this. And Dr. Mixon, you had mentioned something that I should do. I did. And it's wonderful. We love hearing those success stories, too. And we also like to talk to you if you're concerned about something that you're going through or a family member, maybe a friend is dealing with, whether it's symptoms or a diagnosis that you're just not wanting. You just don't know and you need more information. You're not getting information from your doctor. Then feel free to give us a call. That number, we have a new number. If you haven't tuned in a while, it's 206-644-6006. And we can talk with you about whatever is ailing you. All right.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Now we just need a caller or two.
Yeah, we need a couple of callers. But while we're waiting for that first, the next call, we had such a bunch of them at the beginning of the show today. It was like, whoa, 1, 2, 3, 4. And it looks like another one is coming through. So we'll take that in just a minute. But this is Leading Edge Medicine. Of course, it is brought to you by Longevity Medical. And we will talk about that in just a moment after this phone call from Don. Hi, Don from Des Moines.
Hello, Don.
Good morning. How can we help you, Don?
Longevity Page. Can you hear me?
Yes. We hear you now.
I'm a longevity patient. I am about to undergo shoulder surgery from Dr. Nelson's office.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything I can do to improve the outcome?
Question.
When are you going to have the surgery?
I see the surgeon next week, so I'm assuming that would be my...
Okay. Yeah, then you've got time. So, a couple of things. How old are you?
I'm 60 years old. I'm in good shape. I've been a longevity patient for a couple of years.
Good. All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah, well, generally, Dan usually loves our patients because they do very well. because you're pretty well tuned up. The only thing
I informed them that I was referred to by Dr. Jerry Mixon.
That didn't hurt, did it?
No, probably got you in a little faster.
I got the red carpet treatment. It was really nice.
Yes. Yes.
Well, good.
They breathed a sigh of relief.
Dan is a patient like you. So, he knows the value of the clinic because he's one of our patients and I'm his patient. The
Very
only
good.
Thing I would suggest is you might give your doctor a call on Monday and ask about a round of the anti-senescent cell therapy just to lower your senescent cell load. Yeah. If you've got more than a month, I'd say three-day therapies, 3 days a week for three weeks. And that will get you about a 70% reduction in your senescent cells, which should allow your healthy cells to heal and repair more effectively.
Dr. Mixon, I just finished a 3-day senescent cell protocol Monday last week. I started Monday. I finished it up Wednesday of this last week, or this week, actually.
Yeah, well, then good. So you're already keeping your senescent cell load low. Then you're already doing it all, my friend. You should just blossom and do great.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you,
We're
Dr.
in your
Mixon.
Corner.
I genuinely appreciate what you guys do.
Well, thank you for the call, sir.
Thank
I
you
really
for your call, Don.
It. Bye-bye.
All right, taking a quick break here with Leading Edge Medicine. We will be back with Bill and Denise in just a moment. Stay where you are. If you have a question, we'd love to talk with you. Here is the number to get through today, 206-644-6006. Leading Edge Medicine will continue in just a moment. Stay right there.